You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember our mailing address, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And once again, the featured resource of the month, Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting. And, well, I'll tell you what, when you think about fasting, you immediately are reminded of the normal human mode of existence, which, of course, depends on the ingestion and the digestion and the metabolism of food and water. But as Jesus makes plain, there is an alternate energy supply. And that's precisely what he referred to when he spoke to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Remember, Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. I think it's always interesting to recognize the importance of being nourished spiritually when we talk about fasting, because to fast from food is to feast on God. Of course, there are a lot of very practical things associated with fasting. Jay Richards talks about it in the book, but I think about the wise Cappadocian father who used a merchant ship as an apt illustration. He said that a ship completely loaded down is sunk by a minor swell in the waters, but the boat that has a captain smart enough to toss overboard the extra weight will ride high above even surging waves. And so it is with overindulged bodies. A person gets absorbed with filling up, getting weighed down until finally falling into ill health. But those who are well-equipped, light, and truly nourished avoid the prospect of serious disease. They're like the boat in stormy weather that goes right over a dangerous rock. Much more could be said, but let's go directly to our callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up is David in Pontiac, Michigan, listening on the web. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. I'm glad to hear that you're doing well physically. God has been good to you.
Yes, he has.
And I'm grateful for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. I have a question about a gentleman I found on YouTube. He has his own channel. He's very intelligent. He's very convincing. And I just wanted your opinion. He has a channel called Real Bible Believers. His name is Dr. Gene Kim, and he's real busy on the internet, and he has a church too. I'm pretty sure of.
Yeah, I'm familiar with him. He has a church called the San Jose Bible Baptist Church, and the problem with Dr. Gene Kim is that he is he's KJV only. In other words, from his perspective, the King James Version is an autograph. It, for all practical purposes, fell down from Mount Sinai hot off the plates. And the reason I put it that way is you now use the King James Version as the basis for testing everything, and I think that's a big mistake. Certainly the King James Version was a good version of the Bible, and it would likely have remained preeminent among English Bible translations if it was not for the evolution of language. So words that were once denotative have become connotative, and that's why you today have a new King James Version. But there's also a progression in our knowledge and understanding of the original biblical languages. And there's no question whatsoever that there are mistakes in the 1611 KJV that had to be corrected in later editions. So this whole idea of KJV only is fraught with problems. And of course, now we have discovered earlier and better manuscripts to go by, and they demonstrate conclusively that certain inclusions in the King James Version are completely unwarranted. So, you know, certainly I love the KJV. I've often used the KJV for purposes of memory. I did a study Bible with the New King James Version, so I'm a big fan of Elizabethan English. But nonetheless, to be King James Version only is a drastic and dramatic mistake. He also, by the way, is a dispensationalist who believes that, you know, you have to make a distinction in the Bible between passages that deal with Israel and passages that deal with the church. So rightly dividing the word of church, truth from his perspective means that you have to find out which verses apply to one people of God and which verses apply to the other people of God. And of course, that again is an ill-conceived idea because God has always only had one people. And as I've often said on this broadcast, all who are clothed in Christ constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community that is connected by the cross. In fact, if you look at what the Apostle Paul says, he points out that Abraham only had one seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. But the double entendre is that if you're in Jesus Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or you're a Greek, whether you're male or you're female, whether you're slave or free. So it doesn't have anything to do with your position in life, your gender. It doesn't have to do with your nationality or your genealogy. It has to do with whether you are found in Jesus Christ. So I think these are two errors that ought to be taken in consideration for people that listen to his ministry. Now, are they deal breakers in the sense that this means that people that are followers of Gene Kim are not believers? I wouldn't say that, but I do think that they're substantial errors.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. That's very interesting. And I thank you, and keep up the good work. I listen to you often, and I like you a lot.
Well, thank you. That is very encouraging, and just in line with what David said, I went to see the doctor today. I used to go 3 times a week, and then I went 2 times a week, and then once a week, and now I'm going once a month. So the last time I went was early December, and I went back this week and had a blood test. In fact, I shouldn't say this week. It was this week, but it was this morning. Had a blood test, and the blood test revealed that all my markers, from my hemoglobin to my white blood cell count to my absolute neutrophil count to my platelets, all those markers are continuing to move in a positive direction. And for that, I am deeply, deeply grateful. And I do not take lightly the prayers of God's people. In fact, I just did a Bible Answer Man Facebook video shortly before I came into the studio today. And in that video, I talk about my own health and the health of the ministry. And that's just been posted. So if you're interested, you can check it out. If you haven't done so already, the video is available on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. All the resources that we talk about on the broadcast are available at equip.org. And, you know, I'm sometimes a little reticent to promote my own books, but the book that I wrote recently, the book that I wrote during my battle with cancer, is the most important book from my perspective that I've ever written, because it deals on the one hand with truth. Truth matters. On the other hand, with the matter of life. Life matters more. And if you have the wrong menu, your meal may well be toxic. but you have to go beyond the menu and enjoy the meal. And that is experiencing life that is life to the full. It is experiencing what it means to participate in the divine nature. And I've written about all of that and much, much more in this book. It is available in book form, in audio form, MP3, and CD, and again, available for those who support the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Instrument Broadcast, the Hank Unplugged Podcast, and our 24/7 outreaches around the world. You can procure your copy of the book or the CD or the MP3 by going to the web at equip.org. It's available for your support of this ministry. So again, check it out on the web at equip.org, and we'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
Many Christians today view fasting as weird, unimportant, legalistic, or even unhealthy. If we won't make fasting a part of our lives, we will never enjoy the blessings, physical, mental, and spiritual, that fasting offers. Simply put, many Christians need a paradigm shift when it comes to making fasting a part of their lives. For Christians interested in reaping the physical, mental, and spiritual rewards of fasting, the new book by J.W. Richards, Eat, Fast, Feast, is a must-read. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Like millions concerned about their health, Hank Hanegraaff had never really known which diet plan to trust, but he's found the secret to healing the whole of you, body, soul, and spirit. Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us. Eat, Fast, Feast outlines a plan found in the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, simply visit equip.org, that's equip.org, and make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Donna next, Armstrong, British Columbia, Canada, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Donna.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's nice talking to you.
That's awesome. I have a question that my son and I have been debating. I'm a newborn again, and when I was listening somewhere, it was saying that we are all going to have to end up answering to everything that we've done when the Lord comes down the second time. We're going to be facing Him and responding to the Book of Life and our deeds and whatever we've done wrong or right or whatever. And my son says, no, once you've taken God into your heart, that's it. That book is eliminated. And so I'm kind of confused. Now, do I still have to face up for everything I've done? Or am I going to be forgiven and the book is closed as far as that kind of a conversation?
Well, I think what's really important is to recognize that someone who becomes a believer doesn't become a believer in isolation, but rather is baptized into a community of faith, takes up their cross, and daily follows Jesus Christ. So in baptism, you, as it were, spit at the devil and you embrace the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then when you do, you grow in His grace and mercy. You receive the graces that are available within the context of the church by which you are transformed from one glory to another. But to answer your question specifically, I think takes knowing the Bible, and particularly knowing what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's actually worth memorizing this passage, which says that no one can lay any foundation other than the foundation which has already been laid, that foundation being Jesus Christ. And then it says, if anyone builds on that foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what the person has built survives, that person will receive reward. If it is burned up, that person will suffer loss. The person will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So Paul here lays out sort of an elaborate illustration, a metaphor, if you like. And that metaphor illustrates the sober reality that some Christians are going to be resurrected with precious little to show for the time that they spent on earth. They're going to be saved, but as Paul says, only as one escaping through the flames. And that, of course, conjures up images of people who are escaping buildings that are on fire with little more than the charred clothes upon their backs. So Christ, whose eyes are like blazing fire, will incinerate the work of those who simply build monuments to themselves. So is there a judgment? Yes, there absolutely is a judgment. And what's beautiful in the ancient church theology is that you're saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. So you're being saved, you will be saved, and ultimately you'll be saved. But that salvation doesn't encompass just fall to redemption. It actually encompasses creation to deification. What that actually means in practical terms is that we become more godlike. And becoming godlike is part and parcel of being part of God's body, Christ's body, the church. And so again, it is within the church that you go from one grace to another. So you progress. And what's interesting is that in eternity, it's not as though you have a fait accompli, but you continue progressing, because we can never fully progress to be completely like a godlike, maybe is the best way to put it, because God is ineffable. So we never come to an end of exploring God, and we never come to an end of exploring God's created handiwork. But the short answer to your question, to sum it all up, is what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and that is that the foundation is Jesus Christ. But you can build on that foundation, and you either build using costly stones or wood, hay, and stubble, and the day of the Lord will reveal what you're building with.
Okay.
Make sense?
It does. It does. Thank you so very much. I'm going to read that carefully.
Yeah, and also, you know, the Apostle John, you know, who says the dead, great and small, are standing before the throne, and then books are opened, and he says another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead are judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So the books that your son, I guess it was alluding to, are delineated actually in Revelation chapter 20.
Okay.
Fair enough?
That's perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm not sure exactly how much time I have left, but let's go to another caller. Paul in Columbus, Kansas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, I had a question concerning divorce and pastoring a church. I know in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and also in Titus, it refers to the qualifications of a bishop, an overseer, a pastor, however you want to word that. But it talks about being the husband of one wife. So if you've been divorced, does that eliminate you from being able to pastor a church? Or is that referring more towards, the time that it was written in which men had wives, concubines, and the such?
Well, I think you make a good point. I mean, I think there's a sense in which polygamy is forbidden between the lines in this passage. But the short answer to your question is, yes, it's very important for us to recognize that God uses broken vessels. So if a pastor or a priest is divorced through no fault of his own, then he can still be ordained and be used in that capacity within the body of Christ.
So biblical divorce in the sense that your wife had an affair. I mean, because Jesus said the only grounds for divorce is marital unfaithfulness. So if that it be the case, then you would not then be, you know.
Yes. The only qualification I would make with this, and I've made this qualification many times, is that, you know, for the true man or woman of God, reconciliation is always the goal. So we want to leave the door open for reconciliation. So even if you have been harmed, even if you have been unjustly treated, even if you have been cheated upon, the idea biblically is to seek resolution. And the reason for that is that God forgives us though we are unworthy, and we therefore must extend that same forgiveness to other people.
Right. I agree with that. But, in the event that the cheating spouse is not wanting to reconcile.
Yeah, if that door is irrevocably closed by the other person, then you're not bound in that situation. And again, the scriptures speak to that. Paul speaks to that very thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I think it is.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Don't have time to go to any more callers, I guess. I just have a minute or so left in the broadcast today. But do remember a couple of things as we close up the broadcast today. Don't tune me out just because I'm not going to answer another question. But remember that I oftentimes mention the Christian Research Journal And this journal is dedicated to equipping you to exercise truth and to experience life. The current edition of the Christian Research Journal does both those things. It's a double issue of the journal. It deals with truth, but it also deals with life. And there are some fantastic articles. For example, an article by Nathan Jacobs, who I've done many podcasts with, talking about his defense of icons. And you might think that this is something that really doesn't apply to you, but in reality, it may apply to you a whole lot more than you think. So that and the cover story, Dante's Inferno, which explains hell to modern seekers, I think fantastic article. The journal as a whole is a fantastic double issue available. You can subscribe on the web at equip.org. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Try to get two more callers tomorrow. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.